Well, I sure would appreciate your prayers this morning. I'd like to look at a couple verses in Lamentations 3rd chapter. The 40th verse says, "Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens." I believe that the setting of this passage of Scripture would be the people that had went away from God, and maybe with the idea of what I need to do to come back, maybe he's involved in that. And the expression is let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. So it's the idea of looking into ourselves. And again, I want to express, to start off with, today's message is going to be individualized. It needs to be looked at as you're thinking about it today, not as a collective body of people, but me individually. Look at it as this is what I, as an individual, I need to look at it that way and not look to the corner or to look to that over there or this would fit somebody else or anything like that, but to look and say, this is about me, and to look and say, to search and try our ways and to see, Lord, is there anything in my life? And I really want to focus in on this next verse. It says, let us lift up our heart with our hands. And that is an interesting thought to me. When I read that, without really getting into it, I read it and I tried to understand what that could be talking about. It's almost two different ideas. It's not talking about this fleshly heart. So, because you can have an expression, I take my fleshly heart with my fleshly hand. But there's an expression that this is trying to capture here, and I want to explore it a little bit today. I was thinking about this, in a couple days is Valentine's Day, and I'm not here to preach about Valentine's Day or anything like that, but I've been seeing some advertisements and advertisements of things, you know, expressions like doing that special thing for that special person and those kind of things on Valentine's Day. That what would you give? What's the expectation? What would you give someone to say the ultimate words, "I love you"? I mean, that's what you can say that, but what is it that you can do? Well, there's a number of things that we do along that time. You give flowers, or you give candies, or you give some kind of an expression of that you mean something to me, and so I want to bless you with something or give you something or something that way. And no doubt Valentine's Day has been marketed, because all the stores from Dollar General, Walmart, everything has their big aisles, and they have flowers all the time. But I noticed that Walmart has special lines of flowers now, and special bouquets that have these little "You're my Valentine" and special things to say that, and all of these things. But it's in a relationship and all that. But what do you give God? What's the expression that you can give God? What can you actually give God? God would say, "Do I want your offerings? Do I need you to kill a fatted calf for me?" You know, there's a scripture in Job where I think it's like, I don't know, I'm not exactly sure where it's at, but there's a verse of Job and the expression is like this, and I think it's the 37th or 38th chapter maybe of Job, but it's where the Lord comes and says to Job, let me go ahead and get it. Let me try to find that. I think it's the 38th chapter. 38 and 1 of Job, he says, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, 'Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?'" Now, that's very gracious of God to say it that way, because if I was to say it, I would say, "Job, you don't know what you're talking about." Because that's the expression here is, who is this that's darkening the door? You're absorbing light. Who is this that's coming in with a gloomy thing and this, and making statements and accusations and having these thoughts that don't know what you're talking about? Job, he says, and I'm just going to go through some of the meanings of this, but he said things like this: "Job, where was you at when I stretched the universe? Job, where was you at when I designed the world without foundation and hung it on nothing? Where were you at? What did you have to do with this, Job? If I was hungry, would I ask you for something to eat? Job, do you know where the storehouse of hail's at, or snow? There's a great storehouse of these things. I have them all in abundance. And do you know where they're at? Can you go get you some of them, Job? Job, do you know how the lightning works? Job, and he goes through a whole chapter and a half or something saying to Job, Job, you're spouting off about stuff. What can you do for me, Job? I'm working with a relationship here, Job. What do you think that I want from you? What can you do for me? Can you add any hail to the storehouse of hail? Can you improve upon my universe? Can you do anything? Listen, folks, this is really, really true. We want to work for the Lord, but God don't need your work. I mean, this is why salvation isn't of works. The relationship of God isn't that way. Yes, there's faithfulness involved in that, but you know, you can't make God any better or anything there. But there is something God wants. There's only one thing that God can really use, and it's what we really, really want to promote. For us to be healthy spiritually, healthy in salvation, all these things, there's only one thing that's really important to it all. There's only one thing you can do. Only one thing God's asking of you. And it's so important, and it's done in everything. How would you like to have a companion, a friend? How would you like to have somebody? Can you, I mean, honestly, can I chain you and make you my friend? I'm going to go catch me a friend today. I'll go get somebody and club him over the head and drag him into the house, put some chain, put a handcuff on him or some leg irons and strap him to the post and tell him, you're going to be my friend. Well, I might be able to manipulate. I might be able to outthink. I might be able to put somebody in bondage. I might be able to do something like that to try to get them to be my friend. But is that really what you want of a friend? I say, well, if you're not married, I happen to be married. But I mean, I could get leg irons and get Linda a leg iron, keep her in the house, lock the doors, do all those kind of things, manipulate, start all these kind of things. But is that really what I want from a wife? No. I want my wife to be there because she wants to be there. I want more than a superficial. The best thing really is, and what I really want is, I want her heart. This expression that the Lord's talking about here, to lift up your heart with your hand, is an expression that we can understand because this is the way we do it. Here, I offer this to you. The expression is that I'm going to offer you more than works. I'm going to offer you more than going through the rituals. I'm going to offer you more, Lord. I'm giving you more. I want to come back. What can I have to come back? I've been wayward. What can I have to have the relationship? This is what it takes. Lord, I'm giving you my heart. I'm giving you who I really am. I'm devoting myself to you in reality. It's why that we don't, and I'm not saying that there has been some guilty of it in the past or whatever and that, but I'm saying here especially, I'm very in tune with this. I don't want to make hypocrites out of anybody. I don't think it values you any at all for us to get some kind of pressurized thing on you to get you to do something because of peer pressure that you really don't. What we're trying to say is God is worthy for you to offer Him your heart. God can do more for you than we ever can, and the relationship between you and the Lord is important enough for you to say, Lord, I offer you. The only thing that I can really offer, Lord, I can't put any better design on your universe. You've done all you can do. I can't make anything better. I've got all these things you can do. For killing the fatted calf don't do it. All of the works that I can muster up and do in diligent pursuits and stuff, I can sit all day with my hands, my legs crossed and my hands out. I can meditate all the day long. I can do all the things that people do. I can do all those things. But I can't add anything to anything, but I can offer you my heart. I can offer you my affections. I can give you, the only thing that I can give you is really giving you myself. You know, really the whole health of the whole thing and what we really want from each and everyone is that individually I make my solemn vow, my commitment, not to an organization, not to a man, not to a creed, but I offer my heart to God. I don't know, I'm not smart enough to know it all. I'm not capable enough mentally to understand it all. And God doesn't ask me for that. He says, I can do anything with you. If you'll give me your heart, if you'll give me your heart, I can make you to understand what you need to understand. If you'll give me your heart, I can make the thing work for you. Someone was talking to me recently on Messenger again, and it was telling me about the needs that they had and all this, and they was in this 21-day fast to try to accomplish this, and they was murmuring and complaining, and the language was, why is this and all this stuff, and I kind of upset them, but I wanted to tell them the truth is that why don't you, and they were much better off than most people that they really wanted God to help them to get the money to start this business that they was going to start, and they was desperate in this sense and doing that and all of this, and I could tell you right now, fasting's good, looking to God, seeking God and all that is good, but you know that the Bible even says that can be completely misguided. You can be asking for things that you ain't even supposed to have. You can have all these kinds of ideas. Do you know what will make your fast work? You know what God wants to bring you to in the middle of your fast? And what you want to try to get to? What God wants to bring you to is where the place where you say, Lord, here's my heart. Here's my heart. I'm not willing to do this. I got this. I got this. I got this. Can you be happy and satisfied in the Lord if it doesn't work? Can you lay down your ambitions and your desires? Can you lay down what you think you got to have or what you think you need to have to be happy in this life? And one of the expressions this person made to me is, brother, when am I going to be happy? What was my answer supposed to be? Well, when you get your $1,000 to start your business, then you'll always be happy. Now, you know, everyone in here knows that's foolish. Because that would come and go the only thing I can say is that I said, I need to tell you something. Happiness is not dependent on that. And I said, I know people that get a morsel of food with great thanksgiving and happiness. One morsel. They don't have shelters over their head. They don't have anything to fall on. They'll never get a business, but they get something to eat and they're thankful. What is God looking for? He wants your heart. If God can get your heart to where You belong to Him. You offer it to Him. Do you know you have to offer it to you? He's not a thief. He's not a robber. He gave you your heart, and you can do whatever you want to with it. You don't have to be accounted for it, but you can do whatever you want to it with it. He's not going to take it, but He waits for the offer. Offer up with your hand. And I hope you get the expression, and that's all that it is an expression. It's an expression that I have my heart, and I'm offering it. Lord, I can't give you the great works. I can't defeat the enemies. I can't do anything like that. I'm not smart enough, intelligent enough. I'm not capable enough to do this. But Lord, this is one thing I can do. The one thing that I can do. I can offer you my heart. So there's different ones in the Bible. I think we can all probably think about it, but I want you to think about a few of the most impressionable and most, well, to me, they have been expression to me that I think of. And some of them is the three Hebrew children, because they were young, had their life ahead of them. They was in a culture, in a world. They had an opportunity that others didn't get. They got an opportunity. They were actually chosen to be in the palace. And to be in the palace, they wanted them to look. They had to look good. They had to be fattened up. They had to be presentable for the nation. They had to be healthy. They had to be strong looking. They had to have the right color in their face. They had to do all this. And they said, so you're going to be a part of this. And so in order to do that, we need to feed you, and we need to put you through this, and you so you look such right. But they had offered their heart to God. They had already offered their heart to God. I am God's. Live, die, puny, fat, look good, look bad. My happiness does not depend on my satisfaction, and my contentment does not depend on the world around me. I can be as content in God being out in the field or in the king's palace. My life it does not consist of the things that I am contented in God. God is who I'm serving. I've given my heart to God. Lord, my heart is yours. My heart is yours. And so when they come to and said this, they said, we will not defile ourselves, because it's more important that I please God than I look good for the king. You're going to, you know what I was saying? They didn't whip them. They gave them the opportunity. We will not defile ourselves with the king's meat, the king's drink. They said, we will not, did it. And they kept the order that they had. They kept the consecration, the devotion, the offer. Lord, my heart's yours. Do you know what that means? I don't understand all of this, and never will. But I'll tell you what it means. It means I'm willing to do any of it. That's what God's looking for. The struggles that you have about this interpretation or that interpretation is usually because of what you want or don't want or whatever this is. You know what the easy solution is? It's offering your heart to God. Lord, I give you my heart. So whatever you want to mold or do with it, whatever the words of the scriptures are, I'm willing to do it, Lord. I give you my heart. So the three Hebrew children had given themselves to God. And so that was a test to them. And when they come up to the end of this test and it was time for them to be presented, do you know the three that looked better than everybody else was the one that didn't defile themselves with the king's meat? It didn't drink the king's drink. It was the ones that had given their heart to God. I'm going to tell you, God can take care of our lives. And when it looks like, well, how's this going to work out? You know, God's able to do that. It's not through fasting 21. Fasting's great, great. Fast to get your heart to God. That's what God wants. So we offer. We lift up our heart to God. God, this is This is what we want. Well, the story goes on because there come a time to where they said, you know, the deal with it, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and in the dream he saw this image and ended up finding what the image meant. He made an image like the image of the dream, made it out there, and he commanded that everybody at the sound of the music was to bow and give homage to this image. But the Israelites was commanded not to bow themselves to images. I imagine most of them did. There's not a lot of, there was, the fiery furnace wasn't crowded. Okay? But there was three that says, now what are we going to do? Do you wonder whether it's right or wrong? Do you know, I know there's a lot about right and wrong, and we're interested in what it is. But do you know, honestly, it goes a step beyond right and wrong. The only reason the Lord gave us so much rights and wrongs is because we can't understand what the will of God is without it. But do you know that it's actually God wants there to be the idea of it going a step beyond? Okay, I'm married, so what's my marriage duties? I'm supposed to work, I'm supposed to do this and all this. Is that all that it's supposed to be? Well, I'm not really required to rub your feet. Or I'm not required to set up with you. Or I'm not required to do that. Is that the way we want to look at it? It's pitiful if it is. I'm not saying that it can't be. I'm just saying that it's pitiful if it goes just to the regulations of the thing. And the Lord wants more than that. He wants our heart. He wants our heart in the matter. It goes beyond what I can get by with, or what fence I can walk on, or what situation that I can get by with here. This actually comes down to me saying, my God is worthy of my heart. Lord, what is it that would please you? Do you remember one of my most impressed stories in the Bible is David's mighty men? My children used to say, Daddy, you going to preach on that one again? Well, I have mentioned it a lot, I admit. But it's one of my favorites because it encapsulates the whole idea of serving God. David is outside of Bethlehem. The Philistine garrison is in Bethlehem. And David's out there and it's dry and it's hot. And David says, I long for a drink of the from the well of Bethlehem. And three of these mighty men, that was not commanded. They didn't have the duty for it. David did not say to them, I command you to go do this. He said, I long for it. Your wish, my Lord, is my command. Your heart is my heart. If you desire it, I want to do it. If I know this pleases you, I want to do it. I'm offering you my heart. I want to go beyond that. I want a relationship. The three men said, our king that we've devoted ourselves to, we pledged ourselves to, live or die for King David. They went down there, three of them went down there, swords drawn. I think they had grit. I think they had grit in their teeth, and I think their eyes were narrowed, and they went down there, and the whole garrison was down there, and I think he went down there and said, you guys, either get your swords out or give us some water. They didn't say there was a pitched battle or they fought for it. But there was hostility for sure. But they went down there and drew water out of that well. And they brought it back to David. And they gave it to David. And when David saw the love and devotion of his men that had went a step beyond the commandment, had went beyond that for love, and what can we do for our king? He wouldn't even drink it. They hazarded themselves for his drink. And he didn't feel worthy of it. And he knew he wasn't worthy of it. No man should give that kind of devotion to a faultful man like him. And so he took the water and prayed. And gave it a drink offering to the Lord. Lord, these men's devotion may it be to you. Because I'm not worthy. And he poured out their sacrifice that they had went and got. And he gave it to the one that was able. He was thirsty, but he understood something beyond that. The same devotion they have for me. Lord, I'm offering you that from me. I'm giving you my drink. that they gave their life. They didn't die, but they gave their lives for it. And they gave it to him, and they went a step, they went a step beyond. So the three Hebrew children come down to this. Will we bow? Will we bow at the notion of this earthly king that's got the ability to destroy our bodies? He thinks. They had given their heart to God. Oh, king, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. We're not careful about it. Don't have to say it. We're not going to parse words. We're not going to try to be politicians about this. We don't even have to be careful about answering you this. We're not bowing to your image. Our heart belongs to God, and we're not bowing to that image. Well, the old devil always does this. Well, you will, or I'm going to give you one more chance. You know, devil always give you more chances to do wrong. We're not going to do it. We know the story, but it's of men that the scripture was given us this so that we could be challenged by this. These were young men that were saying, God will deliver us. That's our faith. I can be wrong. I've said a lot of things of what I thought God would do and how he would do it. God's ways are so far above our ways, and his thoughts above our thoughts. There's times when I thought God would do something a certain way, and he didn't do it that way at all. So I can say God will do this. This is what they were saying. God will deliver us. But if I'm wrong in the way I'm thinking here, and this is not the leadership of the Lord, I don't have to wonder about this. God wants my heart. I don't have to wonder about this. I'm giving my heart to God, and he doesn't want me to do this, and I'm not going to do it. Above everything else, Lord, I give you my heart. The great miracles of the scriptures was done at perils. It wasn't done when something wasn't happening. It was done at men's at the peril. The children of Israel was backed up to the Red Sea and about to be destroyed by the Egyptians. That's when the miracle happened. Daniel was another case in the scriptures of a man that obviously offered God his heart. It's my heart. I give you my heart. You look at the world around us today. I think anyone that's understanding and looking can say that the world's fast changing. And it is becoming ridiculous to my mind of how far even practical thinking is. And it's going to the point that evil is right in your face, and it's not even practical to think. And yet people are eating it up. Spirits are loose, folks. Spirits are loosed. And they're propagating themselves, and you can see it all happening in all of that. So what are we going to do in the middle of that? I'm going to tell you how to be successful, like the three Hebrew children, like Daniel, who offered himself heart to God, that when they said you can't pray to anybody else, do you know, I think there was technical ways that Daniel would have got around that, that was within the law, within the rules, would have been okay to do. And he took a step beyond that and said he'd done it just like he had done it before. He'd done it just like he is always going to do it, because he went one step beyond. No, God is worthy of me to swing these windows open. God is worthy for me to give his heart and to show these people, I believe in God anyway. This is my moment. This is my time to testify for my God. And I don't think he was commanded to have to do it. I think his heart was, I give it to you, Lord. This is my moment. This is my time. And I want to give this all to you. You know what the answer of our day and time is? Daniel was successful all his life in a heathen country that believed everything different than him. He had more influence on them than they did him. The three Hebrew children was in a land that was altogether different than the land that they grew up in. In a land to where they was kosher about what they eat and what they drank and all that they did. It was a kosher way of doing it and working and all this stuff. And they went to a land that obliterated it, and yet maybe they didn't have the liberty to just do everything the way they would have done, but they still could give their heart to God. right in the middle of it, they could still offer God, Lord, you just, all you got to do is show me what I need to understand. That's all I need. I want to serve you right here in this evil time. Joseph was another one who had showed himself faithful to God. God had blessed him. He showed himself faithful. And in the midst of this, how could one Hebrew boy, how could he go down and make such an impact on a whole nation? But he gave his heart to God. He offered it to God. He would not defile himself with Potiphar's wife. He would not cheat. He would not steal. He kept himself in his integrity. Yeah, for a while it looked like, where's God? Where's God at? Oh, but Joseph, I got a plan for you. He offered his heart to God, and God brought him through that kind of stuff. And now he's second to the Pharaoh in the land of Egypt, at the time the greatest civilization that there was, right there. And he was down there in the great population, and God had lifted him up to this point and place because he had given God, given God his heart. There's really only one thing that you can really please God with, and that is offering him your heart. The only gift that we can really give God, he has everything. Only on one creation did he say, I'm going to give you something that I'm going to give it to you. You can do what you want to with it. All of the rest of the universe, planets go around in their orbits, the comets move in their and their motions, and everything does what God, the animals do what God told them to do. The grass grows when he tells it. The wind blows when he tells it. Everything is done in nature. It does the way, and it does not disobey God at all. When the water falls on the dirt, it makes mud, just like God said. You can throw off on the mud, but it's still doing exactly obedient to God. There's only one thing that he gave the position not to, and that's us. The only thing that we can really give back to him, he owns everything else. If you think you're giving God your money, well, he gives you right to do with what you want to, but God got everything. Don't think that's a justification for anything. It's not. God would say, give me your heart and I have your money. You give me your heart and I got your land. You give me your heart and I got your time. Uh-oh, Brother Marty, watch out. Get off the subject. No. Well, I'm going to give God a little bit more of my time. Give him your heart and he'll have your time. When you give God your heart, he's got everything that else that he needs. Lord, offer you the day. I want to say today, if there's any lacks or places in our lives, the best solution and answer to that is always the Lord. But it's in this particular place. Lord, I want to give you my heart. I don't think that's altogether as easy as just saying it. I think that there's times of struggle in that. And where sometimes we need to be brought to a place. And we want to ask, Lord, if I'm having a problem with that, Lord, help me. Bring me to the place. Bring me to the place that I can offer you my heart. Because really, I really think that everything else is short in religious service. I think everything else is short. I think there is some place for structure. I think there is some place for the being able to articulate and say what we believe and what you should do. But if you shortchange the idea that I'm doing it from my heart, and I'm giving this to God, and there's any superficial idea involved in that to why I'm doing it, well, I don't want to look bad to the congregation, so. Or I the community around me, you know, I want to, you know what that leaves you when you're alone in the field by yourself? Do you know what that leaves you when you put your head on your pillow at night? You know what that leaves you, honestly, when the toughest trials of your life come? It leaves you hollow. And it leaves you a shell with nobody to call on. But you know, when we give the Lord our heart, I believe this, and I believe it with all my heart. I believe that God is paying more attention to us than you can ever know. And I think God wants to add these things to our lives. And he's waiting for us to give him our hearts in the time, and then he can do something with it. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.